you in peace from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now Is the Time. Saturday evening here in San Miguel Dueñas. Actually, we're at Hotel Candelaria on the last day, and I'm going to have the crew introduce themselves one more time.
Damaris?
Judy Higa, Santa Clara, California.
Mara Benson, Natchitoches, Louisiana.
Laura Simpson, DeForest, Wisconsin.
Jendy Nice, Campbell, California.
Mariah Tejada, San Francisco, California.
Stuart Nice, Campbell, California.
Hannah Marquardt, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Melissa Marquardt, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Jason Nice, San Jose, California.
Christina Nice, San Jose, California.
Mission team, welcome back to the podcast booth here at Hotel Candelaria. Today was our Sabbath day. This was a day of rest. This was a day of, I understand, relaxation for many of you, and some amazing food. And I've heard some people say on this mission in the past, encouraging people to come, and they should come to serve children living in extreme poverty. They should come for all of these very spiritual reasons. And then I heard one person say, you know what? You should come for you. Just come for selfish reasons, because we're still going to serve God's children, even if you come for yourself. And I think secretively, some people have come for this day, because there's some amazing tourism that is centered here in Antigua. And so I just want to spend a small amount of time here sharing some of what you did today, and maybe how that made you feel in comparison to the rest of our week. But please tell me what you ate, what you did, what you saw, what you experienced here on our Sabbath day in Antigua. Christina, what did you have to eat? Christina is our foodie, our resident foodie. She absolutely loves food. She's a great cook. I've eaten some of her cooking myself. And Christina, what did you eat today?
Well, I really only had one main meal, which was a late breakfast this morning. A group of us, almost all of us, went to a restaurant called El Tenedor del Cerro, which means the fork on the hill. And it's an amazing, it's more than just a restaurant. It's an art museum, and just this, there's a zip line up there. There's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a mini Disneyland, Antigua style. they have this an amazing restaurant with glass windows, and it's under a tent, and so you can see the volcanoes as you eat. But in the morning on Saturdays, they have a breakfast buffet, and so they have scrambled, they have an egg bar, and every type of beans and plantains, which are typical Guatemalan food and breakfasts. They have all kinds of bread, muffins, and then my favorite thing are the pupusas, which are made with the normal Guatemalan corn, the masa, similar, which they used to make their tortillas. But instead of just being a tortilla, they're filled with cheese. Two are filled with cheese or pork. And so on my plate, I had a fried egg with the ranchero. It's a tomato sauce. And cheese on top of that, and then I had my hot pupusas. I had one yellow and one blue corn one, and then I cut my egg, and so it just got everywhere, and then I had another plate with fruit and little breads, and it was great.
Did it give you your Guatemalan fix, Guatemalan food fix for the
day? Yeah, it was great. It was perfect.
Yeah. And it was pretty good. You had good weather this morning, too, right?
Yeah, it was really nice. It was warm, but perfect.
What else? Food. Let's stick with the food theme for a minute. Anybody eat anything different or interesting that they hadn't had before?
I've had the pan dulces, little sweetbreads, before, but I love them, and I think they're pretty special to Guatemala, and just really good with your coffee in the morning. They're like little biscuits, or I don't know, I love those. So I also went to El Tenedor del Cerro also, but I had coffee with my little pan dulces this morning.
I had a
very traditional soup. It was a turkey with red peppers and rice, and it
was called Cacique. It was very interesting, and it was recommended by one of our, by Casildo, who was eating with us that day.
Local Guatemalan volunteer who's served with us for many years. Really, he recommended that dish.
Well, I looked at it, and then he asked me what I was going to eat, and I pointed at it, and he's like, yes, give me the thumbs up. All right, I'm gonna get this now.
It looked amazing. And the presentation, that clay bowl, I mean, it's this giant clay bowl. It looked like it was hand spun. And yeah, it was beautiful. It was good.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Nice.
Awesome.
Laura and I went to the chocolate museum.
Oh,
we
did.
We
were supposed to go.
We accidentally found it. We were on the hunt for jade. Doña Luisa, is that the name of the bread store? Because we wanted, I've gotten the bread before. It's banana bread. Orange and chocolate banana bread, so I was in search of that to bring it home to my family. And then on the way we ran into the chocolate museum, and the man in there spoke really, really good English and was a really, really good salesman. So they had samples, you know, and so many wonderful flavors. Like, I bought some chocolate bars to take home, and you can get them with coconut or orange or pecans or macadamia nuts or chili or unusual one. Oh, cardamom. Mm. Mm-hmm. And milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate. Smelled really good in there. They had cooking lessons and people with their aprons on. Is that what you guys wanted to do?
We were going to.
Yes. Okay. We had appointments.
So there were some people taking your slot for the chocolate lesson and just smell really good in there. So.
Didn't it look fun, too?
Yeah, If I had known.
Next week, maybe.
Yeah. So, and then we got our bread. So the bread's heavy. We were carrying it around town all day. It's heavy. So I bought more than one, of course. What?
I told you to get it last.
Well, we tried. We tried to get it last. Yes.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. And then through this restaurant on the hill, I touched the table. You start at a hotel down the hill, and you get in this golf carty looking vehicle, but it's even bigger than that.
Indiana Jones.
And it has belts. And with, like, a tent covering over your top, so you don't... But it's open air, and they drive you up this steep hill all the way to the top where that restaurant is. And then you got these views from up above. And the volcano is erupting right now.
It is.
Not erupting, but like puffing smoke.
Oh, it is.
I would call it erupting.
And lava's flowing. So we got to see that from up there, another vantage point, and see the zip liners and hear them.
Hear the zip liners.
You hear the rattling of on the tension wire.
Totally makes you want to do it, right?
What else? Any other food experiences, Jenny?
We went to a new place for dessert and coffee after our lunch experience. And it was, the name of the place is Ganache, and I believe it's a fairly new coffee place here in town.
6 months they've been open.
Okay. And they have the most amazing hot chocolate, Guatemalan hot chocolate with beautiful designs on top. Excuse you. And then we also had a Chemex coffee
trip. Explain what a Chemex coffee experience is. I had never heard of it before.
It's a fancy drip coffee method, and they were really into it for this group. Plus, the chef there is French trained patisserie person, had a big certificate on the wall saying, "I'm the real deal." And all of the desserts were the real deal, I think.
Yeah, they were delicious.
They were good for me.
They were delicious. I believe we had, Jason had the ganache, which is their house dessert. It was delicious. And then Sean had a cheesecake that was an
orange and carrot cheesecake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was delicious. And the rest of us had the brownie sundae.
Brownie sundae with vanilla ice cream.
Gelato, I believe.
Vanilla
gelato. And Jason had a
small espresso.
A small espresso. Very good. And beautiful inside, too. Very, very fancy and nice.
A great server, too.
And a great server. They're really, just like the Chaco Museum, they're very well trained and very excited about their products. So that was fun.
Other experiences today. Other experiences.
Antigua was very busy today. The traffic was very, very heavy.
Saturday.
And the center square was very full. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of people around the fountain and men carrying how would you call it when they have the cotton candy on a pole?
Mm-hmm.
And they were walking around and selling stuff. So it was very, very crowded and busy and bustling.
What else did you guys do?
Ladies. A bunch of us went to the spa at the Santo Domingo Hotel, and it was well worth the money, we all decided. We went in, and most people got massages, and I got a facial, but there's a pool and a sauna and a jacuzzi, and you can just lay there all day on these really comfortable lounge chairs and just enjoy it, and it was absolutely beautiful while we were there, and just very peaceful and relaxing.
Just a lot of us were from lifting all week and doing three stows every morning. We were just feeling a lot of tension. We were like, a massage sounds really good. And so when we were up at El Pinador this morning, they had a sign out that said, like, the spa is now open at the Santo Domingo. So it's just fairly new. And they were really great and got us in. And so we had our massages, and then we went. Did the sauna, and then the pool, and then the jacuzzi, then like a long shower.
And there's a chocolate bin.
Yeah.
Yes.
And water strawberries.
A bin?
Yes.
You can scoop
chocolate.
White chocolate. Dark chocolate.
Dip some out and put it
and
in your hands.
And
go back. You can go back again. I guess so.
And then they had water stations to stay hydrated. And they had plain water, and then water with strawberries in it, which was really great.
Mm-hmm.
And then they even have different facials and massages for men too. So
yes.
Everybody is welcome.
There were a lot of men there.
There were.
Didn't realize, because when we've gone to spas before, they segregate the men from the women.
There were a lot of men.
So I'm in my little white bathrobe and with my little crocky footies on, you know, they protect
one
your feet.
One size fits all.
And I'm like, what are all these men? You know, because I'm wearing my bathrobe.
Probably not approved.
There's not a whole lot of owls. And I'm like, what are these men doing here? And next time I'll know. I didn't realize that, you know. But it was just unbelievable. I mean, the garden, you're in the middle of the, you know, they've landscaped it so beautifully with native plants and flowers. And the view was pretty. And
it's one of the few five-star hotels in Guatemala and Central America, frankly.
Well, so when you said the Chelsea Clinton honeymoon were there?
Yeah.
Who said that?
I
don't think so.
President Clinton visited there.
That was years ago. I heard that she spent part of her honeymoon.
It's a famous
hotel. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe
famous
not.
People definitely go there.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Like you.
And the hotel itself is beautiful.
It is.
Even if you just walk through it, it's
like
stunning.
A museum.
Well, it was an old convent.
16th century monastery,
Dominicans.
Yeah.
So it is unbelievable. And they have parrots. They have what do you call those places with a parrot? Or like what? Those little perches. They have these beautiful perches hanging in the trees. And we saw them bringing the parrots out this morning. Because Hannah told me there would be parrots. She's like, oh, they're not here.
They must be sleeping.
And then we just saw a man coming and had him on a pole, and they're hanging all over him. And he's just carrying them.
There was
in.
Like 8 of them.
So we had to put them in their perches, I guess. Beautiful.
It is beautiful. Beautiful place. Laura, this is your first time experiencing Guatemala and Antigua. Curious your thoughts today.
I had a lot of fun.
Good.
It was nice to spend the week working hard and then to have a time to just relax and play a little hard, too. So it was very pleasant. I went and splurged a little bit today. I went to the Jade Museum and I got a little jade pendant. So the gentleman that was helping me out, he asked me, you know, why I was here. So I got a chance to talk to him about the mission trip, and he was really surprised. He's like, really? And I pulled out my phone. Luckily, I had pictures, so I explained that I had helped install 12 stoves for people in poverty and showed him pictures, and he's a little bit open-mouthed. And I said, then after that, we did a vacation Bible school, and I was able to pull up a 2-minute video of the song El Corazón Tan Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned off the video when it was done, and he said, thank you so much for showing me that.
Really?
That's nice.
Yeah. So that was a nice experience. Yeah.
Beautiful. Judy, how was your day?
Mine was great. I got, for the first time ever, I got a massage. I've never had one before, so I was thinking about it before we got here. I was like, I really would like to get a massage. So I swore I wasn't going to spend more than $50, but that all went out the window when I got there. So I did get a deep tissue massage, and I think her name was Fabiola. She was amazing. Uh-huh. She was wonderful. And like you were saying about the mid-century architecture, that's all, when you're in those rooms, that's all part of the spa. So it's like you're still in, you know, this really old, you know, building. So that was really pretty. And then after that, I had to wait for all the girls because they were in the jacuzzi and the pool. So I decided to get a pedicure. And then they took me upstairs.
So
she took me right on this beautiful spiral staircase upstairs, and again it was all the rocks, and it was so gorgeous and old with the open windows, and I could see all the trees and the people walking by while I sat in this big huge leather chair that was gorgeous, and I got a pedicure. So that was fun. It was kind of fun to just go wild and splurge.
But not just a pedicure, it's the whole experience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the experience of being in there, because like Laura was saying, that's the best massage she's ever had. I'm like, I've never had one before, but it is, the whole experience was gorgeous. I mean, just being there was beautiful. And it was so tranquil, and you're hearing the water flowing, and then they had koi fish in the spa, the little birds. Wooden bridge, and then the big fountain shooting out. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful.
That was just like how the monks lived.
Exactly. I'm sure they went in a sauna to pray.
And we were too. Being very aware of our surroundings. Relaxation.
Now, Melissa mentioned something right before I hit the record button here about maybe having some conflicting feelings about this. Tell us about that.
Well, some of it had to do about switching from serving to this consumer way of living, which is so part of who we are, I think, as Americans. And we're encouraged to be that way. And then the other thing I just think about is I walked through the doors of a place that the people I was with this week could never walk through those doors. I mean, my theology is that if you ever want to exclude someone for any reason, Jesus goes and stands with them. Like, if you draw a circle around yourself and you say, these people are in with me and those people are out there, you find out Jesus leaves your circle and he goes out and stands with them. So I feel like I walked through those doors and I was sort of, you know, it's not a place of, there I go again, it's not a place of inclusion of everyone. You know, you can get in there if you have enough money to eat there or buy services or whatever. So it It just was such a juxtaposition from
where we've been.
But that is part of who I am, and that's exactly what I'll be going back to. Is, you know, I get my nails done, then I get my hair. This is not real blonde. Yes. You know, so. So, yeah, it's. And then I think about the people working there and watching us coming and go and so freely spending that money.
Mm-hmm.
Where for anyone that we served this week, they wouldn't be able to do that because it would be frivolous. You know, it's outside of necessity. It's not food or shelter or clothing or education. So,
anyone else have any conflicting feelings today?
I felt the same way, and while we were at the spa, but then also we had a woman from one of the villages come this morning to sell some of her goods and stuff like that to us, Vicky, I think her name was, and we were buying things, and I would ask her, oh, I got a poncho. And I asked her, like, how much was it? And she's like, CN, so 100 quetzales, and I just whipped it out of my, like, little purse, like, it was no big deal. Whereas for her, it would be a really big deal to, like, I just didn't even think twice about it. I mean, I was thinking about it while I was doing that, but it's so much easier for us to do that, and she really depends on it, and she's telling me that her mom is really sick, and last night she told Vicky that, like, I'm done, I need to go be with God now, and so she can't be home with her sick mom in the last, like, few days or whatever, because she still has to make money for her family and stuff like that, and so she's here, and so we had a good heart-to-heart, and she cried, and I was doing a little bit, too, and but it was, yeah, the fact that it was so easy for me to just pull out 100 quetzales, whereas for her it would take a lot to script together.
100 quetzales is about $13.
Yeah.
Which buys a really good meal here.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had the buffet for, I think, $13 today at the
with a tip.
It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all you can eat.
All you can eat.
Any other conflicting feelings or thoughts while you were enjoying? Not that you had to. I was just curious if anybody did.
Well, this was the first year that Casildo actually joined us for the Saturday. I thought that was really cool because he's been coming for a couple years now, and we only see him on the work days, and he doesn't really... I mean, he eats everything, so whatever we don't eat, he'll eat.
He ate 3 meatloaf things the other night. I was like, wow.
He never says no. He only says yes.
And he likes the juice.
Well.
Remember when we were telling him not to give us juice for dinner anymore?
And he goes,
and he was like, what?
I want the juice.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, it was kind of cool because we usually take a step back and kind of break away from the people that we're usually with. Sometimes we'll invite them to dinner and we have a nice meal together with them. That's been really cool. But it's been really interesting having just hanging out with them. And just he calls me his compañero. And we joke about it a lot.
Yeah, you guys are really hitting it off today.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult to understand Casildo in English or Spanish. He has his own way of speaking.
Or Quechua.
Or Quechua, or
or
the
German.
Six languages.
He was speaking French to us the other day.
Was he?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So,
awesome.
I know some of you know Casildo's story, and some of you don't. Some who are listening might not know. So in 1976, there was a major earthquake here. It destroyed a lot of homes, including Casildo's when he was a very small boy. The next year, a group of Americans came and built him a new house. And he remembered that. He remembered it was a group of Christian missionaries that came and gave them an entire new house, a beautiful house that his mother still lives in today. And so it's about 5 or 6 years ago, Don Reese, first time we were in his town, Santo Domingo Xinacoc. And Casildo is a different looking person. He has very long hair. He's older, for someone to be sporting such a long haircut in this country. Most men here have very short haircuts. And he has a very unique style of dress. You get some sort of hat on and then something fairly fashionable, either his shirt or his jeans or what have you. He's just a different kind of looking guy, and he talks a little different and looks a little different. And so we were setting up our first day. You know, we were doing the introductions and the village, and we were getting to know the village a little bit. And he was just walking by the church, and he came in, and he said, "What are you guys doing?" And we said, "Well, we have a mission." Or, what are you guys going to be doing? "Well, we're going to be installing floors and stoves and Bible school." And he said, "Can I help?" Now, in the past, we've had many Guatemalans come looking to help us in exchange for a job, money. They're looking to be paid, because most mission groups are coming from large nonprofit organizations that have full-time salaried people, and they pay a lot of local people to, quote-unquote, help them. And so we always have to spend a lot of time explaining, no, we're really volunteers. Like, all of us raise our own support. Dom Reese and I raise our own support. None of us are getting paid. And it's a very foreign concept. Unfortunately, you would think missionary means missionary, volunteer means volunteer, not so much. In many developing countries, not just here. India is the same when I was in India. So I explained, no, we don't hire anyone. I started going through my speech. He whips out his wallet and he pulls out about 700 quetzales, which is a lot of cash to be walking around with, any Guatemalan. He's like, "No, I got money. I'm not looking for money." "Yes, you do. Put that away." So he says, "No, I really want to help." And I'm like, "Well, okay, we'll be starting tomorrow morning. Where do you need help?" And I said, "Well, we could use some help on the floor crew, the concrete floor crew." He says, "What time?" And I said, "We'll be here at 7, which most work doesn't start till after 8 here. Okay, we arrive the next morning, about 10 to 7. He's there waiting for us with his boots, with his own tools, a hoe and shovel, and a big smile on his face. I don't know how to take this guy, you know? And so he worked. He worked like crazy that whole day, and we had a really rough floor crew that year. We just had miscommunication. The floors are supposed to be 9 foot by 9 foot. They were like 23 feet by 15 feet. I mean, they're way too big. They were way too much effort for us. We all put them in by hand. There's no concrete machine. We are the machine. And Casildo, at the end of the day, said, "What time are you coming tomorrow?" We said, 7 a.m. Worked all 4 days with us. Then at the end of the week said, "Where are you guys going next week?" So, "Well, we're going way on the other side of, I mean, it's about almost an hour from here, you know." He said, "What time?" And he said, "Well, our bus leaves the hotel at 6:30 in Antigua." He said, "Okay." The next week, he was there at 6:15. He had to get on a bus at 4:30 from his village to be here at 6:30. He did that for 4 weeks with us. Never once asked for a lunch, never asked for bus fare. We, of course, gave him bus fare and tried to provide lunch, and he's like, "No, I don't need any. I don't need anything. This happened for years until I finally asked him. I said, "Casildo, why? I mean, we don't have people walking up to us every day saying, 'Can I help you like this?'" And he told us the story. He said, "1976, this earthquake destroyed our home. The next year, a group of Americans came. They built us a home, and I will never forget it. This is my way to say thank you." And to pass it forward, pay it forward to someone else who needs help. He's one of the most Christ-like people Dom Reese and I have ever met. I mean, he's just an amazing human being. So that's Casildo. We are all blessed to know him. So I have one more question for you. This is our last day. We've been here for a week. We have had some amazing experiences. Some we can't even remember back from Monday or Sunday. We've worked with children. We've installed stoves, over 30 of them, 39, I believe, in children's families. We've played games and sung songs with these children and their moms. We've eaten meals made by the hands of the volunteers in this village. We've had amazing experiences here in this beautiful hotel, this historic hotel, Hotel Candelaria in Antigua. We've had experiences with strangers on the street. We've had hand-picked fruit come off of the trees of family members that we've served. We've had amazing experiences. My question for you is, what is the one experience, the one moment, more than any other that has happened this week, what is the one moment that you do not want to forget? I'll start with a moment that happened to me last year. It was actually after the mission. Don Maurice and I came in December, and we were walking with Lillian through the village to check on one of the stoves. And there was a group of children, elementary school children, sitting on one of the stoops in one of the houses on the street. I walk by, and I hear one of the kids say, "Un granito de mostaza." One of the songs that we sang in VBS 9 months, six months earlier. And I stopped and I turned around and they all started to giggle. And I looked at them and I pointed to the sky and I said, "Eso dice el señor." I mean, if I finished the phrase of the song. And we started singing. And Lillian stopped and she turned around and she said, "They remember." And I was like, "Yeah, they remember. They remembered that song 6 months later." And those kids accompanied us for the rest of the morning. We visited these stoves, and they're walking in just perfect strangers' houses. They don't know anything. And we sang, we played, we hugged, and we took pictures. And they remembered song, stories, the crafts. They remembered Bible school. And it's a moment I'll never forget. What's a moment you don't want to forget?
Mine goes along with that, actually. It's the same song. We were in the bus driving to one of our stoves, or maybe back to the center. We're with our guide, Rose Alba, who's a part of the Corazón de los Niños group, and she was serving alongside us all week long. And I don't know, Mariah and I were sitting in the back, and I don't know, we were talking about the song or something, and she starts singing it. And she has the sweetest little voice, and she's just singing it. And then we start singing together. And I'm like, "How do you know the song?" She's like, "Oh, we sing it in church." But, I mean, we sing it with the kids, and it's so fun and so lively, and, like, it has such a great message. But when she sang it, I felt like it was, like, worship. Like, she believed it. Like, she believed that she couldn't live without that. And just working alongside her all week, and just the joy in who she was, and we got to be with our kids too, and we could just see that, like, she loved God and just wanted to be with us and serve us, and saying goodbye to her was really hard. But I'll never forget her and our moments together.
I don't want to forget that this community is like, they're going through a lot of rough things, but many times when you're talking with other people, it always seems like they are at a fight with God. Sometimes for small things, sometimes for big things. But this community, with all the women that I talk, even though they are suffering, they are not fighting with God. It doesn't matter what's going on. They are not blaming Him.
No.
It's not like, if He really loved me, this will not be happening to me. It's just like, the only thing that you hear from them is like, "Yes, this is happening. It's really bad. It's really sad. But God is in control. God knows what's going on. God knows what's happening." And it's just amazing. You know, I heard some awful things, and not one of these women will say anything about an unjust God. for a guy who doesn't love us enough, and why does he let us suffer? It's like, those women, I think Martin Luther would be happy to talk with them. It's like, God is here, we are here, we will suffer because this is life. But one day, he will wipe our tears. And when you hear that from the person who, you just heard the awful story, it just leaves you with a knot in your throat and your stomach. It's like, wow, that is faith. Through the awful things, they're like, but God is in control, you know? He will take care of this one day. So, I don't want to forget that.
I think the thing that will stand out for me is the same with Rosalba, that goodbye when she's walking away from us and we're in the van and I'm wondering what she's thinking. So I think I'll forever always wonder what she was thinking at that moment. And I'll never know.
I've led VBS Crafts for the last few years that I've been here, and I love doing it. I love, it's a lot of work to prepare them, but it's so worth it when you see the kids be so proud of the craft that they've created every single day, and they want to show the whole world their craft. And like, I come up with these and they're fairly simple, but they find ways to make them so unique in their own way, and I love that. But this week was special because there was a lot of moms present too. And the first day I went up to them and offered each of the moms the opportunity to do the craft. And each one, like, you could see that they wanted to, but I don't think they thought I was serious about letting them do it. I was trying to hand them the craft, but they didn't do it. But I asked them the next day if they wanted to do it, and they did. And they took me up on it, and they, I think, I can't remember what it was now, sheep or something we were making, and they wanted to, and then every single mom wanted to, and a few that came in late, they came and tapped on my shoulder and asked if they could do it too, and see them get just as excited as the kids, and see them be so proud of something that they made, and a reminder that they're a child of God too, and that's just... is really present, and like, I was getting teary-eyed, like, at the end of, like, wow, they took it, and I know they would wait for me to hand out the craft to the first round of kids, and then they would sit there and wait for, like, watch me, and wait for me to come bring the craft over for them to do it too, and that was really cool. That was really cool.
I saw a similar thing. I was watching the moms, and though they were there to bring their children and wait for them to participate, I was watching on the last day, and one of the moms, as they were going through the Bible memory verse, she was very intent to get the memory verse too. And she, you know, it was like there was no one around her. She was like, okay, just, I'm doing this. And each time Luki had the children repeat it, she was like, I'm doing this, I'm on this. Which reminds us of what we talked about on that last day, or the day before, that the Word of God is being sown into the hearts of people, children and adults, and you never know who that seed is falling upon. But she was good soil. You could tell she was good soil. And God's going to really touch your life. So.
I've never been this moved or affected this week than any of the weeks that I've been to Guatemala, and really any of the other trips I've been on in the last 4 years, and it's been quite a few. And I don't know why, and I've had a really hard time talking about it too, and I think that's why. And I was trying to figure out, I was like, maybe because I was a photographer, and so I was able to like sit back and just like really watch everything happen. And I think that's part of it. But every house that we went into, for the most part, the moms at the end, whether or not they seemed interested while we were putting the stove in, at the end, after we prayed, were just crying. And it happened in a lot of houses, and that really like stuck with me. And then there was this one mom in particular who was just crying and crying and crying. You could tell this meant so much to her, more than we even understood. And then at VBS, these two kids came up to me, and it didn't register in my head that we had gone to their house and put a stove in until they had said it to me, because it was the first stove out of their 12. And they were like, can we get a photo with you? Can we get a photo with you? And so I took pictures with them, and then they're like, our mom wants a photo. Our mom wants a photo with you, too. And she came up to me, and she was just crying. And, the daughter who wasn't there at the house when we put the stove in was like, thank you so much for the stove. And she's like 7. And that was just... it made me cry, and it still makes me cry, and I'm trying really hard not to cry right now. Just because, like, I think even coming here, like, you know, you understand that it's really important, and, you know, I've got all the statistics in my head of why this stove's important to tell people about it, but I think there's still part of me that's like, it's just a stove. You know, it's not a medical surgery. It's not this, like, life-changing thing, but these people, this, like, is so... life-changing for some reason that we don't understand, and we're not going to understand because we're not in their shoes. But yeah, that's what stuck with me this week. That mom that came up to me, because then she kept coming up to me the rest of that last day and saying bye more than once, like over and over and over, and like she wouldn't let go, and I was like trying to like translate for somebody and then also talk to Luki and like do all these things, and she kept coming up to me and like wanting to say bye again. It was just, yeah, that's what stuck.
Yeah, the thing that has stuck with me and is sticking out in my mind right now is the last day when we kind of finished early, but everyone was hanging around, and no one really, like, left, or everyone was just kind of hanging around and talking, and kids that didn't even look at any of us, like, once during the week, like, they were afraid of us, came up and gave every single one of us hugs and said thank you, and their moms did, and grandmas, and, like, everybody, and I was just like, like, these kids were afraid of us all week, or, like, didn't want to talk to us, or unsure, and now they're coming up to us and giving us hugs and saying thank you, and really all we did was sing and dance with them and play with them. And that, I mean, the mornings are really hard in, with the stoves, and it's just, it's hard work, and you're tired, and you're like, oh, I really don't want to go. But as soon as you see those kids, it's like, nope, this is why we're here. And just the smiles on their faces. And so that last day when they just... and several kids many times came and gave us rounds of hugs over and over and over again until we left. And so that definitely will stick with me forever.
I'll go. It's really hard to just pick one thing. So I'll try to pick something that was just personal to me, since... I don't know that you'll share it, but I think it was the second to the last day. I think it was Thursday that I had two little boys come up to me. I'm not sure how old they are. They could have been 10 or 11, but it was after VBS, and we were cleaning up crafts, and they came up to me, and they tapped me on the shoulder, and they wanted to talk to me, and they started speaking to me in Spanish. All I could understand was gracias, and it was very loud in there, too. So I couldn't really, even if I could understand Spanish, I couldn't understand what they were trying to say because it was so loud. So I said, just a moment, and I went and got Luki's sister-in-law, because she speaks fluent English, and I said, can you translate for me? And the boys... they were a little shy, and then they said, she translated for me, and they said, we just wanted to say thank you for coming to Guatemala and coming to our village and doing VBS. We're really enjoying it, and we want to thank you for all your hard work.
Sweet.
Just a little cute with the little eyes.
Yes.
He was just looking you guys like, he was just amazing. He was like smiling. His little face just stuck in my mind. And I don't know, in all these years, I think leaving the place, he has a feeling like we laughed. I don't remember ever feeling this for any place. Just when Rosalba just didn't have any words, and she just said, thank you. I think it's the most sincere thank you I have ever heard. It was just, I don't know. Today I was feeling like it's a weird place. It's something like it was God's plan for us to be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the other places haven't been a plan from God, but this place has something like kind of make a big dent in my heart.
I felt like it was very difficult to even get here for all of us this week, and you know, wondered if it was even going to happen. And I know individually we've all shared that we wondered if we were going to make it for this week, and then we almost didn't. And I kind of felt that stress all week long. I told Stuart today, I said, I felt like the picture I got is that we were this little candle in the darkness.
And I think as much as we did for them, they did more for us this week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really it.
There's no doubt in my mind.
That's really it. You give, but you receive by the giving.
Mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of different villages in Guatemala, like a lot, for only living so many years. 12 years, and some of those weeks it was like 3 or 4 different places. For some of those years,
that was smart.
As a few different places. And I don't know if I've ever like loved a place so much and felt so included by them, and just like felt like I could walk alongside them and like, you know, be with them. I don't know, just like it was so welcoming and just it was just like full of love. And I think it's always like funny, like the first day we all walk in and meet them all, like you know. But even sitting there at that lunch the first day, it was just like, I don't know, it was just amazing. And I think another blessing was just like how beautiful it was, that village. I think like God's glory is like so present there. Like you look up from any direction and there's a volcano in front of you, and you're just like, you know, you're just astounded by that, and then you're astounded by everything around you. And even just the streets, there's so much going on, but it just feels like home for these people, and it felt like that for us this week.
There was so much care from the people. Like, we were there to care for them, but they were caring so much for us, too. And, like, I don't know if you explained it in the previous podcast, but, like, they were praying for us just like we were praying for them. And more than one house, they were like, we'll be here. If you want to come back, like, we'll be here, we'll see you again, and, like, you're welcome to come stay at our house. Like, just so genuine, and, like, we are friends for life, and, like, we are true brothers and sisters in Christ, and, like, there's no way we're not going to see each other again. And, like, their true belief in that, and it's so inspiring and so welcoming, and it is, like, family. And they hugged us. Like, we talk about how sometimes you get an elbow out of respect and you shake the elbow, and they were hugging us and just real, like, clinging on and holding tight, and like that's just amazing. And you really, really feel the love way deep down. And like I said more than once also, just like, my love tank is so full right now. It's overflowing.
And it's amazing to think that it, like, just one word, just because we said yes, we're here.
Yeah.
And we said no, we would have never experienced any of this.
Yeah.
So it's all by God's work that we were all here to experience that week. That could have never been.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
What's the name of the woman that cooked our meal?
Rosita.
Rosita. So we.
That's the one I wanted to share. Yeah.
Did you share already?
No.
Oh.
I don't mind being quiet though.
Good.
Well, didn't she show us to another house first?
Yeah.
And she was a little more help than we needed. And I think
but
it was her
okay.
excitement.
Yeah.
It was her excitement. But sometimes when they're excited, they kind of know what we're going to do, but kind of don't know what we're doing. And they're so excited.
help. And we went to her house next. But then I'll share something else. Something that I noticed, this is the third time I've done the mission. My stove crew installed more stoves to elderly people than I've ever done before. So we installed one for this husband and wife, and the husband was in better mobility than the woman. So he, I think, maybe was doing more because of her immobility, but I don't know, maybe that's how they live together. I don't know. But he hugged me, and he held on to me, and he kissed me, and he prayed over me. And that means a lot to me when they pray to me, too. And, and luckily, Judy was there with us. I'm like, why'd he say? Because he went, you know, it took a while for him to finish what he was praying. And I could tell it was a prayer, but I kind of wanted to know a little more. And so you helped me figure that out. But it just, I don't know, the depth of that connection across, you know, his age and my age are very different. His culture and my culture are different. And then the languages are different. Mm-hmm. But we shared this time together for a little bit. It was really neat. Mm-hmm.
The woman's name is Rosa?
Rosita?
Rosita.
Rosa, mm-hmm. Rosita. So it was our last stove of the day?
That day.
Uh-huh. So I've never done anything like this before. So we get that last stove up and we're done. And we've installed a stove. And she's so very grateful. And she starts crying. And I don't know any Spanish. I don't know what she's saying. But I just hug her, and we must have hugged for a good couple minutes anyway. And I looked at her, and I kind of held her face just a little bit, and I said, "These are happy tears." And Hannah translated, and she nodded her head. So the hard work that you just did with your muscles doesn't feel like work at all. That was totally worth everything that happened. So that was that moment. And then I'm going to share two just because. And then, so the last day at Vacation Bible School, I had befriended a little boy. We talked about this earlier, Javier. And he came up to show me his treasure box that the children had gotten. And we were kind of looking in the box, looking in there, and there was a bracelet in there, and he pulled out the bracelet and grabbed my arm and started putting the bracelet on my arm, and I'm like, no, and it's already on. Muchas gracias, Javier. So, yeah.
And it's still on.
Yeah. It's amazing to have two different, completely different groups of people come together and to be able to walk the same path together. Mm-hmm. And that's the miracle. That's an amazing, great thing. That doesn't always happen just when you've got people that all are white middle class that, you know, have all had the same experiences. That's a miracle. Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Mine was when Mako came over yesterday. And he's our stove builder. And his mission is to give stoves to Guatemala, and our mission is to distribute those stoves. So we're helping him in his mission, and we kind of had a focus group yesterday, and kind of were nitpicky of all the little things wrong about the stove, and he told us yesterday that he was going to fix those things today on his day off. And that it was a pleasure for him to hear our feedback, and that his work is not work, it's what he loves to do. And that's kind of a thing that we learn at school and stuff. You want to find a job that you love, and then it's not a job, it's what you do. And he's found it, and he's changing lives. It's awesome.
He also mentioned something that I just loved. It was just like so clearly a statement that just comes from his character and who he is. But we were joking, like, wow, it's not often that we get to like talk with the engineer and like the CEO of a company, like, wow, you're a great boss, like, glad we get to talk with you. And he said, I'm not in hefe, I'm not the boss, he said, I'm your servant.
But he is. That man walks the walk. He heard God's calling and left the ministry to use his God-given gifts as an engineer to serve God's children.
As a ministry.
As a ministry.
I just wish he could have seen palm faces. Mm-hmm. Women.
Well, in the words of that child, thank you for coming to Guatemala. Thank you for your love and for your service to our Lord and to his children and San Miguel Dueñas. Thank you for honoring Dom Reese and myself with your presence. And with your love, and with your sweat, and with your tears, and with your joy.
Your back pain.
Back pain. It's truly been a privilege to walk this walk alongside you this week. And we pray that you will come back.
Igualmente.
With us, mm-hmm. or someone else, or mm-hmm. by yourselves, to love and serve children in need, because you're really good at it. And as Jay says, if you love something and you're good at it, it's not so much work, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right.
So please come back. And if you come back with us, it would be our privilege and honor to work with you all again.
No problem.
So Dios te bendiga. May God bless you. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.